Those were all good.
Welcome to Still Untitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Will.
I'm Adam.
And I'm Norm.
Hey guys, I'm on a couch. We haven't done this in a while. We're on a couch. This is the opposite shot. If you're watching the video, you immediately know that. If you're listening to the audio, this is really kind of a disappointing moment for you, probably.
The table is right over there. That's where we normally do this.
Oh my God, that looks so cool over there.
I know.
And there.
I can't believe what you did with the R2. He looks so much better now.
Oh, you guys are such bastards. What you are seeing is the new sword and upright thingy rack that I built for the back of the couch this weekend.
Does it say do not lean back?
You can get careful there.
Sir, I challenge you to a duel.
there's whatever duel you feel like having is possible from this rack.
Three fencing foils, épées, or...
That's not all the fencing foils I have. I have another half dozen in storage.
Have you ever fenced?
Never.
Oh, we should... That would be a fun thing to do. Like, go take a fencing or a kendo lesson or something.
You know...
Shoot it.
Or kendo. You went from fencing
to
kendo.
Well, this is sword fighting,
No, this weekend, I saw a friend of mine who, the last day I was at his house, he got up really early to go sword fighting.
Why the fuck?
Because he does that every week.
Yeah. I did fencing in college for a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's like there's an amazing amount of skill there. Like it's one of those things you look at on the Olympics or whatever, the one time every 4 years that it's on TV, and it looks like just some dudes wailing on each other. But it's all about anticipating what your opponent's going to do and countering that.
Telegraphing, reading the telegraph.
And fainting and the whole thing, yeah.
Well, I was talking to a fight choreographer, a movie fight choreographer last week, who was training Jamie and I to do a specific thing. He was training us to do something that I can't talk about just yet. But he also was experienced in all manner of edged weapon fighting.
And that's talked a great thing about, to put on your resume.
Well, I mean, Hollywood's full of guys like that.
Oh, yeah.
And he talked specifically about the sword fight from Rob Roy, which includes a broadsword against a rapier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you would think the broadsword would just smash.
Well, and it was a whole thing about the difference between the two blades. And we haven't talked about this, but I have a lovely replica of Inigo Montoya's sword from Princess Bride. Mm-hmm. And the blade from it, which is sitting right behind Norm there, was a piece of stamped chrome shit. So I sent it to a rapier maker to remake the blade as a real rapier blade. And when I got it back, it terrified me about rapiers.
Because it's super sharp and scary?
It's super sharp, and it's like 4 feet long. And like, if you were proficient at that, I would go toe-to-toe against almost anybody with one of these things.
Pointy end goes into the...
Yeah,
but it's also edged too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, it's very scary what you could do to somebody with something
Turns
like that.
Turns out swords will fuck you up.
Who knew?
Wow. So you have no formal experience with swords.
No, and it's something that's not by choice. I would love, and San Francisco doesn't yet have a sword fighting group.
We have a kendo, there's a good kendo class that Brian Lamb tried to get me to go to.
Well, I've been trained in kendo, and probably knowing Brian, he probably went to the same guy
because
we found this like really awesome.
Got to be the best guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Whoever it is, Brian's going to the best.
There's a fencing club though, I believe.
Right. Absolutely. But for me, I'm interested in more things like Aragorn's sword, kind of sword fighting.
Like broadsword or claymore or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, but not, I don't want a big, whatever they were doing with Excalibur.
You want a one and a half hand sword.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. Something like that.
Something you can two hand if you want, but it's one hand.
It's
optional.
Not the local, Jedi association.
Yes. Yeah. So I recognize we're going to get a lot. Oh, wait, I wanted to talk about this just for a second. I noticed in the comments about the last podcast, people were complaining that it was a little short.
Was it?
I don't think it was.
I thought it was long. Usually, like the target length is about 20 minutes.
Okay.
I mean, we haven't.
I don't think we've ever hit.
We haven't hit
as
that.
Low as 20.
We haven't hit that in a while.
The whole idea of a target length for a podcast in itself it makes no real sense.
Right. But I noted that in the comments on the site, someone was like, oh, they're doing really short podcasts lately. And I was like, right.
That may have been. Sometimes people get confused too, because the other podcast that Norm and I do on Tested is super long. It's like a two or 3 hour spectacular.
I see.
Where we just kind of talk about everything that's happened in the technology world and also things that are of interest.
Mm-hmm.
So it could have been that there was some confusion there, but yeah, I mean, I think we generally let the conversation go here as long as it feels natural to go. Yeah.
Also, I got an email from Sean, our inventor and winner this week. We've decided upon a project to embark on. So we should talk about what that's going to be and how we're going to cover it.
Well, yes, that's a heck of a tease.
You can read his stuff on Tesla right now. He's writing 3D printing stuff for us.
Is it a callback to something that we did really early on?
It is. And I'm about to pull out some of the parts to dive back in and finish it off.
Very good. So on that note, let's talk about something completely different from what we've been talking about.
And now for something completely different. I saw the coolest watch this week, and I think it was on Boing Boing.
Are you talking about the Astro Lane?
No. It was a watch from the Ministry of Silly Walks, and John Cleese was in the middle, and the hands of the watch were his legs.
That seems right.
Yeah, they went all okay. Isn't that awesome?
John Cleese is awesome in general. I think that Cleese hasn't touched anything except for maybe that last James Bond movie he was in that wasn't awesome.
When he played Q.
Because he was English.
Yeah. Was that a Pierce Brosnan one?
It was
the one with Pierce Brosnan and Charlie Sheen's ex-wife. Right?
Right.
Or was the one with Halle Berry?
Halle Berry. I will tell you that I don't think, I'm pretty sure ex-wife. About this.
She has a name.
Denise Richards. You know, I couldn't remember.
From Melrose Place.
No.
What? No, she wasn't in Melrose
she was
Place.
On 100% she was in Melrose Place. Yeah,
she was also.
Really?
She was also the NBC executive's daughter on Seinfeld.
She what?
The one that Costanza hit on. She was the NBC executive's daughter on Seinfeld.
Join the View, Costanza.
Yeah, and that's horrible Neve Campbell movie.
That was a great movie.
It had an undeniable charm.
That movie made file sharing what it was.
Did it really?
Yeah, that was a huge hit on Kazaa.
But wait, what was I saying? Oh, wait, Ministry of Silly Walks, John Cleese. I will tell
Christmas
you, and I'm pretty
only
sure
comes
I'm
once
right about
year.
This, I have not watched a single one of the Pierce Brosnan Bond films.
What?
All the way through. I've seen many parts of them, but I haven't sat through a single
what?
One.
What?
GoldenEye is great.
Really?
GoldenEye is amazing.
And, you know, it's Martin Campbell, the director who also directed Casino Royale.
Okay.
So he directed two reboots of Bond movies.
Hold on. The Casino Royale, the recent one, or the original one with Sean Connery that was bad?
Casino Royale with
the original
Daniel Craig.
Sean Connery. That was with Woody Allen.
Oh, right. What's the Sean Connery Kim Basinger one?
That's Never Say Never, which is
a Thunderball remake. And
which
not
I
officially.
Enjoy.
It's terrible.
Brandauer is a very, very, here's your segue. Klaus Maria Brandauer is a very unsung actor who's really, really brilliant.
I don't know what the segue is.
He's the villain. Oh, I can't remember what the segue was.
If we take a step back, we can agree Thunderball is fantastic.
Speaking of things that have been on HBO.
Yes.
Well, I was going to go further with Bond.
You know, back in the 80s when we were kids, HBO, you know what it stood for.
Norm was a fetus.
Hey, Beastmaster's on.
What?
Because Beastmaster, literally from like probably 1981 to 1986, Beastmaster was on at least once a day on HBO.
So I don't know that I've ever seen Beastmaster with the sound on.
Oh, it's really worth seeing. It is a colossally shitty movie.
Okay.
I know there was a syndicated TV show, Beastmaster, in the 90s. That was
Beastmaster the movie starring Mark Singer and Tanya Roberts.
From the Seventh Angel.
The Seventh Angel.
We got that wrong the last time we talked about Beastmaster. just my bad.
Watch Beastmaster. You really should.
I like HBO also because their the HBO title card is that static?
Yeah.
And which doesn't translate at all to digital when they did digital because the rates and all you see is the artifacting.
Yeah. Right.
But in analog, it's perfect. You have the static.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So speaking of things that are on HBO, the third season of Girls started.
Yeah. You know what? Have you watched it yet?
No.
I don't think Will said that seriously.
No, because I eagerly watched the first two episodes, and I have to say it felt like Girls dropped off a cliff to me.
I kind of thought that
toward in place.
The end of last season, because we didn't intend to come here and trash talk Girls.
I'm not trash talking anything because I love Lena Dunham. It just feels like the first two episodes I watched, I was like, these characters are doing the same things they were last season.
They're not growing.
I'm not seeing anything. I know Adam can be a dick. I don't want to keep watching him be a dick for a couple whole episodes.
It's the Kevin Smith problem. like now that now they're wildly successful beyond their all imagining. So how do they write about the schlubs in New Jersey?
Yeah, I know. So I'm not sure that. Well, yeah, that's an interesting and open question. Yeah. I think that the dramatic arc of Girls might have been more fitting to the BBC than to American cable, where it's an endless series of seasons.
Now that's great, because there is a trend now for series in America where the writer can write just one season. Yes. This television is a writer's medium, as Vince Gilligan. And
there's the segue.
There it is.
It's the perfect segue.
That's beautiful.
I was getting.
I knew
at.
We would get
nice
to
job,
it at
Chan.
Some point.
So,
Norm
for
is the
example,
only one with his eye on the ball here today.
So we're going to talk about.
So, for example, on the American Horror Story yes. is an anthology series.
What does it? What does anthology series mean?
And
Norm?
So it means that the first season is its self-contained unit, tells one story beginning to end. And the second season, while they may bring an actor or an actress back, like Jessica Lange, it is a completely separate story, but with the same theme.
Okay.
And so you kind of know what to kind of expect, but then the writers have free rein and they're not tethered to
right.
existing characters. And maybe it's in one universe or something.
So it's like an anthology of short stories.
Sure. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And HBO now has its own anthology series, its new one that we've all watched at least an episode of, called True Detective.
Yes. I watched it last night.
Ooh, it's
great
fresh.
Because there was no new episode last night.
No.
Oh, so there's only one episode.
No, there's three episodes, but they skipped the week.
I see.
They took the Super Bowl off. Sellouts.
And the Super Bowl, that's the game with the pointy ball.
You know, Jamie made that exact same joke.
Yeah, he got that joke from me.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I could see that.
With him in Bakersfield or something, I was like, oh, it's Sunday. I'm sure people are watching football. I was like, that's the one with the pointy ball.
Yeah. I once said that in a Texas crowd.
Oh, that didn't go well.
they didn't like that joke.
Yeah, well, you might as well tell them you're a Democrat.
I figure they know that because I'm from San Francisco.
It's assumed, I guess.
I think it's
okay. So, True Detective.
True Detectives
is Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, and they're Southern Louisiana state cops, basically state detectives.
State detectives.
And it seems like this is the story. I mean, the thing that they're setting up, I've only watched the first episode too. Norm has devoured all three of them. Gina and I watched the first episode and we hardly ever roll straight into the second, marathon stuff, just because I like to stretch things out. And, the lesson I learned from John Hamm is that delayed gratification is much better than instant gratification. But we both looked at it and we're like,
question, how did John teach you that lesson?
Well, I watched a lot of Mad Men. It turns out that, he likes to let things build over a long time. No, I didn't get a note from him.
He also liked to stretch things out.
Yeah, he does like to stretch things out. So
that was really inappropriate.
The long story short is that we were going to watch the next two episodes. And then I said, wait, let's see when the one after that's on. And we decided to hold off because we had a week. We watched it on Friday.
Okay.
We're like, okay, I'm in. Let's go.
So like all HBO shows still are right now, it's not the Netflix model. Netflix is the only one that I know so far who releases all the episodes at once, which is great. You watch them exactly when you want to. You don't have to binge. It has changed internet water cooler culture a little bit.
There's some 15-year-old kid who claims to have watched them faster.
I've watched them 8 times already.
You fly over to New York to watch them and you get dropped earlier. I don't know.
But let me ask
I don't think that works that way.
Let me ask a question about True Detective. So I watched the first episode and towards the very end, there's a reveal of a murderer. Or you start to see, the murderer is part of the plot.
Are we going to spoil this or are we going
to
not spoil this?
I think we have to spoil it.
Okay, so we're going to spoil the first episode.
But I want you not to tell me because here's what happened. My wife and I are watching it. We're getting further and further in. And then
Matthew McConaughey
says, and like most nightmares, this one ended with a monster. And you cut to a shot of this murderer.
Oh, you didn't watch the first episode.
What?
You watched the second episode.
You watched the third episode.
I watched the third episode.
You skipped way ahead because you watched the episode called In the Locked Room.
Well, this episode's done. Shut it down.
Oh, no. And you're talking about the guy with the gas mask.
Oh, shit. Really? I watched that.
Oh, no, Adam.
Stop.
This is the Netflix problem.
Oh, that first episode is so good.
You have to go back.
I'm going to go crazy. You're
going to have to go drink yourself absolutely silly.
Shit. We're going to still air this, right?
We are absolutely going to
still air this.
Okay. So this is fascinating now, because my question to you is, did it make sense at all?
Yes.
Watching the third episode?
I had no problem jumping in.
Wow, that's good writing.
I had no problem jumping in. I will say, Woody Harrelson is wonderful.
He's always good.
He's always really good. I loved Oliver Stone for taking Woody out of his Cheers mold, putting him in Natural Born Killers, which is not necessarily a great movie, but he is so amazing and so compelling and demonstrates such the opposite range of what you'd expect.
Natural Born Killers has three absolutely amazing performances.
Robert Downey Jr.,
Juliette Lewis, and Woody Harrelson are all great in that movie.
And Tom Sizemore. I mean,
I forgot about Tom
Sizemore. Rodney Dangerfield.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. No, it's
a really good movie.
Fantastic.
I
will tell
issues.
You that I think Matthew McConaughey is a revelation.
So
in
True Detective.
Did you see Dallas Buyers Club?
No.
This is Matthew McConaughey as he was shooting Dallas Buyers Club. This is skinny Matthew McConaughey.
Right.
He doesn't take his shirt off like Matthew McConaughey of the 90s.
Take our shirts off.
And
sorry, I'm doing Matt Damon's impression of Matt McConaughey.
So it's your impression of Matt Damon. Okay.
Plot aside, just the promise of Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, and a lot of the show is them in the cars.
Yeah.
Just driving because it's Louisiana. It's the South. They have to drive everywhere. And just their dialogue in cars and having these massive presences of them. They're both larger than life actors, but to go against each other and then be foils for each other and for it to work is what makes the show.
Oh, it's really wonderful.
So the first episode's all character.
Okay, I can't believe I haven't watched.
Oh my God.
I watched the wrong one.
It's so good. I don't want to spoil that, but
we can spoil.
Yeah, you
the
spoil
premise. The premise, as Will talked about, is Louisiana State Detectives, but the murder mystery that you were watching them solve for the main plot of the story is 1995.
Right.
And so that itself is world building. They're for callback 1995. There are, you know, Clinton references.
I mean, I will tell you that watching the third episode, I couldn't figure out because Louisiana is all like, you know, I was like, am I watching something from the 50s?
When he rolls out of a mid-90s Crown Vic, I'm like, wow, is the Louisiana PD so hard up that they're still driving 15-year-old Crown Vics?
Yeah.
So they first meet in 1995 as to become partners in Louisiana, but the show is also framed in 2012 interviews with where they
right.
In 2012, which for
and the 2012
least,
detectives never speak.
No, they do.
They do.
Oh, do they? Because in the third episode, they don't say a word at all.
They don't come in until you're not even sure when you see the modern Harrelson.
Yeah.
They set him up first, I think. And you're not sure what his backstory is at that point. What's happened to him between now and this previous time.
And same with Matthew McConaughey.
Well, Matthew McConaughey, you know that something bad has happened to him because he looks like a strung out hillbilly.
Yes.
Texas redneck.
So brilliant.
And he has this moment where you see, what's his name from Dazed and Confused come back. Like the,
See,
which is a,
was it the same age?
He says it's afternoon on a Thursday, which means it's time for me to start drinking. And he sends him out to get beer in the police interview. And then you like, as that whole episode develops, you realize that there's more to the interview that's happening with them than otherwise. And there's Southern corruption and the whole thing. It's really good.
Oh, so interesting.
You're watching the mystery unfold in 1995 flashbacks.
Right.
Which is the telling that Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey are telling these new detectives that you talked about in 2012. So there's a little bit of a, you know, there could be a lying narrator aspect to this because it's
unreliable narrator.
Right.
So, and you also, while you watch this mystery unfold and get resolved theoretically, you also find out how they got to be where they got to be in 2012.
Right.
Because there's another mystery happening in that present moment.
It was the fall of a good man.
Fascinating. I'm totally fascinated. I mean, I'm riveted. I just, what I was going to say was at the end of this episode, and I won't spoil it for you, Will, because actually what I described, I turned it off immediately because I didn't want to deal with what I thought I was about to see.
Really?
It felt like, okay, so we're inculcating my boys with some really good old movies, and they've watched a good portion of Fincher, and I thought it was time, they should watch Seven. I mean, it's really gruesome, but they like the horror movies. They could totally take it, and they totally loved it. Loved it! I mean, was really great to sit and watch their reaction when, you know...
Yeah,
Seven is pop Fincher thriller at its perfect moment. You have to introduce your kids to Seven before Zodiac, because Zodiac, you need to digested Fincher.
Yeah, yes.
But Zodiac is the movie he wanted to make.
Oh, it's so good. So I had to leave during part of seven. And it was during the lust portion. I'd leave because I just didn't even want to think
and hear about that story
and hear that story again and sit through that. And the actors, their actors are all so good. And so I got to the end of True Detectives. Wait, what was the other thing that we watched that was really, oh, right. We watched Top of the Lake. My wife and I finished all seven episodes of Top of the Lake, which is Jane Campion's series with starring Elizabeth Moss
from Mad Men. Yeah.
And phenomenal. It's really beautiful. It is gorgeously shot, gorgeously acted. Holly Hunter's incredible in it. And Jane Campion is truly one of the world's great directors. The plot falls apart to such a degree. And the first three episodes, you're like, what's going on? And then the last four, you're like, it slowly gets worse and worse, and there's some hole. You're like, what is going on? I mean, really, it's made me mad.
Would the characters start being dumb?
The characters start being dumb, and actually, well, also at the end is some really gruesome shit. Mm-hmm. Some just stuff that I didn't want to...
I find my capacity for that has decreased dramatically as I've gotten older.
Doesn't it?
I remember
somebody writing to me after Silence of the Lambs came out, and they were like, no, I thought it was fine. I just don't know why someone needed to conjure that stuff up and put it down on paper and then on film. And I get that sometimes of like, I just don't want to think about the things that happen on SVU.
This sounds
network television. But you know what?
My wife and I have a joke that within every episode, it was like, you know, in House, someone has to cough up blood by the end of Act 4.
Yeah.
Someone's spitting up blood at Act 4.
Bloody mucus.
Not a single episode of Law & Order SVU occurs without the words vaginal tearing. I'm really convinced that they occur in every single
episode.
Or
rape kit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the premise. Special victims is the euphemism, is the terrible euphemism now.
Yeah.
This
is why I don't watch procedurals.
Wait, what's the euphemism?
Well, special victims.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the PG, the Dick Wolf way to talk about that topic. In True Detective, that stuff, I don't know if it's in the episode you watch, but there was some Fincher-esque montage where you see a lot of photos and stuff.
Well, I thought the credits are amazing. And T-Bone Burnett did the music.
The opening credits.
Oh my God. Incredible and so beautifully done.
The landscape of Louisiana, the cityscapes. I'm sure you guys have both seen in the episodes you've watched just a beautiful tracking shots of cars driving across. And they must have helicopter shots. Let's just spend 2 weeks doing shots across Louisiana. Okay, you're going to drive from left to right. We're going to drive this way. We're going to shot overhead.
What did they shoot this on? Do we know?
Digital.
I know it's digital, but is it like FS700s or is it?
I don't know.
That's SLRs or Reds.
I'll look it up.
Yeah.
But the opening credits, which are incredible composites of faces and the landscape.
It's like silhouettes of their faces with shots of Louisiana against it.
And there's particularly one shot where you have some character, I don't know who, if they've revealed this character yet in the show, but it's like the highways, Bakar's face, and looks like snakes twisting, wrapping around his face. The show is this, like television shows, a writer's medium. It's the vision of one writer. He wrote all 8 episodes, I believe.
Oh, really?
I thought there's 10.
Or 10 episodes of the season. He's the showrunner, lead writer. And so it's not like one of those shows, like when you talk to Vince Gilligan, you know, they did at writer's room, they had their plot points and major stuff.
8 episodes.
On their flashcards and then sent out the flashcards to writers to flesh the episodes out. It was his from beginning to end. And you can kind of see that in the no scene in True Detective has been fillers thus far.
Oh, gosh. No.
Every scene has very specific purpose. Sometimes the scenes are not very subtle. It is a writer-friendly show. There are monologues, long monologues.
Well, but that's a part of the framework story mechanism usually,
and
right?
I'll just say, I mean, I've never seen McConaughey better, quieter, more contemplative, more riveting. I mean,
did you see Mud?
No.
So I haven't watched Mud yet either, but everybody said Mud was phenomenal. And that was the start of this McConaughey renaissance.
He and his character in the show is the most cynical, nihilistic bastard ever. And I can't imagine someone being more fun to write and create.
His monologue, and I won't spoil this, but Will, he's got a beautiful monologue in the episode I watched about what it does to you to stare at thousands of crime scene photographs, what you see in the faces.
Mm-hmm. In the very first episode, he walks out of a car and he looks around Louisiana, like this like strip mall, and he talks about how it looks like the memory of a town. This that it looks like they're the memory how someone will remember a town.
And, but the interaction with him and Woody Harrelson when he gets in his darkest places is brilliant.
Right.
The thing at the in the first episode, you're introduced to the first crime scene, and they cut immediately to that, to Woody Harrelson going home to his wife, who is played, I think, by Bridget Moynihan. Is that right?
Or Michelle Monaghan.
Michelle Monaghan. I always mix them up.
Terrific.
And I just looked over to Gina. I was like, I don't know how you come home, like how you come home and have a normal home life after being exposed to like horrors on a daily basis.
And the point of the show is that he doesn't.
I haven't gotten that far yet. So we'll see. Might be an RA Cinefx. It's shot with something that has a distinctly digital view. They're using
I can't find the format.
Nice rack focus and stuff like that.
Yeah, I can't find it.
Regardless, it's only been 3 episodes so far as of when we're recording this, and with 8 episodes, five more episodes. I mean, it doesn't feel rushed, but it's also not moving at like a 24 episode Glacier's pace.
Right.
And 8 hours.
Well, that was always the problem with 24 is that they had a good 10 hours of content and had 24 hours to fill.
Yeah.
Did Kiefer ever sleep in any of them? Like sleep for whole 6 weeks?
He did.
Really?
Totally.
Nobody ever poops though.
Really?
No pooping in 24. CTU doesn't have a bathroom, it turns out.
he even had
like a gas station on 5.
Exactly. Nope. Yeah. Sorry. Customer employees only.
Can't help you.
I think that'll do it. We'll have to revisit after the season's over and talk about True Detective again.
We totally will. And I will watch the episodes in order this time.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you that pilot is probably the strongest pilot I've ever seen.
Wow.
Like it is. It holds up at I guess it's not a pilot, because I'm sure that they had the whole show ready to go before they shot it, but it holds up as a story on its own. It left me wanting more at a level which I don't usually feel with hour-long TV dramas.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely gorgeous. So
okay, I'm totally psyched.
And I guess that'll do it for us this week. As always, if you want to find out more, we have stuff on tested.com. We launched premium memberships a few months ago.
Yes.
People, we're posting regular premium content. For you guys, which means video, just to be clear. We have so far recorded a commentary of the movie AI with the three of us sitting and talking over the movie, ruining the movie. We called it Totally Unauthorized Commentary. But I think really what we did was ruin the movie in the most wonderful way possible.
I think we've got to do it again.
Yes, soon. We have a lot of options. We talked about doing Brazil.
Have you seen the trailer for Zero Theorem?
Oh my God, it looks so good.
I have a movie.
Oh.
I think we should watch that after this podcast before we do the next podcast.
Okay.
And that'll do it for us this week. If you want to find out about that stuff, go to tested.com/premium, I think is the URL. Anyway, see you guys later.
Bye. This podcast was too short.